Like, yeah. No one would be terribly surprised if Andy Farrell picked Robbie Henshaw. Like, oh, he's shit. No, get him out of the team.
That's not what
the commenters are saying.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
All the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah,
I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no.
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hey. Hello, hello. You are very welcome back to another episode of Word on the Street, where every week we take a sporting event, a sporting topic, and we take it to the public. And basically, we want to know what they have to say about it, and then we chit-chat about it here in studio. So I think we are on episode 3.
Episode 3 right now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to lose count eventually, but for now we're on episode 3. And we are an all-female team here on Word on the Street. So honestly, there was nothing else we could cover this week except for the whole skorts versus shorts controversy going on in the Camogie. So for this week, we have a very special guest, our resident Camogie player. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, hello.
And we're calling it episode 3, Skort Hand. So, Rachel, you play Camogie. You obviously have much more experience than either of us. You're going to take us through a quick 60 seconds of what's gone on in the past 2-3 years and what's going on right now.
Yeah, so I suppose to start off, the official uniform for Camogie is a skort, and this has always been a big topic of debate for players. But in 2023, it came to the fore again with a shorts, not skorts campaign. But when this was brought to Congress in 2024, the motion to get rid of skorts was voted against, and another motion to give players the choice to wear either shorts or skorts was also voted against by like a small margin, 45% to 55%. And it wasn't up for debate again until Congress 2027. But last week, the Gaelic Players Association released a survey in which it stated that 83% of Camogie players would either feel more comfortable wearing shorts or given the option to wear shorts instead of a skort. And as a result, at the Leinster semi-final at the weekend, Dublin and Kilkenny took to the field wearing shorts, and they were told by the referee that if they didn't go in and change, then the match would have to be abandoned. So they went in and changed, but this has sparked protests all over the country, as you can see in the media yourself. And Cork and Waterford are due to play in the Munster final this Saturday, and they have both come out and made statements saying that they're not going to change, they're going to be wearing their shorts lining out, even if the match has to be abandoned. And in the latest news this morning, the Camogie Association have come out and said that they're going to hold a special Congress in 2 weeks' time, on May 22nd, to decide on the vote whether to give players the choice to wear a skort or shorts. The long and skort of it, Susanna.
The long and the skort of it, we love it. Just before we get into all of the nitty gritty, you play Camogie, have for years. What's your personal opinion on the situation?
I hate the skort. You know, the only time I ever wear a skort is 5, 6, 7 championship games of the year. And same with pretty much everyone I've played with ever before. So we train pre-season, we train in shorts, normal trainings, we train in shorts, league matches. If you've got a lenient referee and you can get away with it, you'll play on your shorts. Oh. It's a mad panic to dust off the skort just before the championship matches every year. So I don't know anyone who has ever trained in a skort. I played Camogie in Australia for the last 2 years. I'd give you money if you could see a skort over there. You know, no one has packed one. They're uncomfortable to play in. They're awkward. I spend a lot of time on the floor, you know, but you can spend a lot of time on the floor playing Camogie. And you're conscious, like, because for anyone who hasn't seen them, they're basically a pair of tight compression shorts with an extra bit of material wrapped around the front to look like a skirt. Yeah. So the minute that material goes up, which is every 15 seconds when you're running at full tilt or bending down on a rock to pick up the ball, all you have on show is these practical booty shorts, to be honest with you. You know, they're like the Lululemon shorts underneath that fabric.
May as well just be wearing the Lululemon shorts.
Exactly.
If that was their choice.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's something that's so kind of, it doesn't make any sense when you think about it logically, because I grew up playing Gaelic football and it was never a thought in any of our heads, that sort of sense of feeling uncomfortable when you're playing sports. That shouldn't be your priority, you know, when you're running or when you're, you know, racing after a ball. That's just not what needs to be going through your head. It's against kind of every, your instinct as a sports player needs to be in the kind of the here and now. And if you have young girls and grown, you know, senior players as well, and their mind is on something else because of the kit that they're forced to wear. It just seems so bizarre, especially considering in Gaelic football, which is so heavily associated. I mean, I know it's not under the GAA quite yet. It's still LGFA and the Camogie Association are separate. But it's so crazy that you have young girls who could be playing both sports, and one week they're comfortable in their shorts, and the next week they're, you know, as you said, having to dust off the skort that they never wear in the first place.
Yeah. What's bizarre is that I would have played hockey and tennis growing up, both always in a skort.
Yeah.
Now, what I can't remember is whether I trained in a skort, which I do find interesting, but I would have never even thought about what I was wearing. It never even crossed my mind. And I think that's the case for quite a few players out there, that maybe they never even really thought about it, and all of a sudden they are starting to think about it. So we chatted to Ava from the Trinity Camogie Club, and she kind of had a similar view.
Yeah, because personally, I used to not really mind the skort, but I feel like since people have started pointing out like how uncomfortable it is and like how much time you do spend fixing it during a match, like my opinion's kind of gone. Like, yeah, they actually are so unfit for purpose. I used to have to fight with some of the girls in our team like to get them to wear skorts for our matches. So I don't want to be having to force someone to wear something they don't want to, but it's kind of, yeah. The more I've started, I don't think I like lent too much thought to it beforehand. But like, as I've been thinking about it over the past week, I'm like, yeah, it actually is a bit messed up that we're forced to wear them.
I think that's the key, is that we were chatting to you about this, Rachel, that maybe camogie is just, I don't want to say more physical because hockey is very physical, but it is a different sense of you are tackling people, you are on the ground, your arse is up in the air, and there's pictures being taken. And I think that's a concept that a lot of maybe the older generation of camogie players don't really understand, because sure, they played, but in a time when Twitter wasn't a thing and Instagram wasn't a thing, and there was no photos constantly being posted of them straight after their match. And that's something that you heard of a lot of girls saying, that they genuinely don't want to see their bum on Instagram straight after they finish playing a sporting game.
Yeah, we had Niamh Rockett on the show last week, and I think her quote was just resonated perfectly. She said she'd be going onto the local photographer Neil Brown's website to see if he'd done her dirty, you know. And we can all relate. Anytime we have a club match, there's a photographer there, which is great. And you know, you always love to see a snap of yourself playing. It's great, but there's always a fear that, oh, I was up over that ball. Now I hope the pictures are PG.
Yeah, and it's interesting because maybe people back then didn't think about it as much, but now it seems like there's not a lot of research to say that it definitely is, but it seems like young girls coming up and through the system maybe aren't experiencing this at a younger age when they don't really have to worry about that kind of thing. You're younger, you don't think about it, you don't really have an arse to be pictured. But as you get older, it kind of subconsciously filters into your brain. And obviously we can't directly say this is why girls are dropping out of camogie, but it's definitely something that's been floating around. And we know it's been a case in the hockey that there's been a direct link that girls are uncomfortable, mainly because of the pictures, but also because they're just uncomfortable running around, they drop out of the sport. And it's actually worse for the sport as a whole. So this thing that they're trying so hard to keep in is actually causing a greater issue for them, and is going to potentially, I'm not going to say it's going to cause the sport to die out, but it's definitely not helping.
Yeah, and it's hard even to pinpoint. I know a lot of girls that I would have grown up with that dropped out of camogie when they were young, and they might not necessarily say, oh, it was because I had to wear a skirt. But it might be a case of, oh, they put on the skirt, they didn't like how that felt. Then all of a sudden they didn't like playing camogie. You know, it's just, it's a very small margin. But as Aisling Maher said during the week, if even one girl drops out of camogie because they're having to wear a skirt, it's one too many. You know, we do so much to stop the drop. This really, really simple thing that we're begging for isn't being answered at the moment yet.
Really important points that Tess Howard made was that when she did her research for her dissertation, she found that body images was one of the big issues that forced girls across the sport, like not just hockey or not just camogie. I know Tess Howard, an Olympic field hockey player for Britain, she mainly was focusing on that sport. But I think it tracks across many, that young girls of kind of 12 or 13, that's such a huge issue for them. And when you have a sport like camogie that is maybe forcing a piece of kit on a child, you know, a 12 or 13 year old child that they don't feel comfortable wearing, maybe it mightn't be the core issue, but it can be such an easy kind of, okay, this is the final straw, or this is one kind of rung on the ladder that's going to cause me to not want to play this sport anymore. And it's something that is, you know, logically seems like such an easy fix. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine having to have done that as a child. I know Susanna said that she, you know, playing tennis would play in a skirt. I wouldn't. So, but the fact that you have that choice, I think, is the main thing that it's lacking, I suppose, right now in Camogie.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that it's not comfortable is potentially something I didn't realise either. Because, for example, in tennis, or for me in hockey anyway, I know some hockey players will say it is, it isn't. But in Camogie, something like 80%, 83% of girls are saying, actually, this really isn't comfortable to wear.
Yeah, and I think another difference between hockey is in Camogie, like, you're raising the ball, you know, and it has happened on more than one occasion where the slitter goes in between the flap of the shorts and the thing. It does, because, like, you're getting into this low position, you're trying to raise the ball, and you just have an extra bit of material there that doesn't need to be there, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of the key things they tell you when you're trying to win the ball on a rock is get low, get over the ball. And you're there getting low, getting over the ball, one worried that your ass is out, and, you know, the next that it's actually just getting in the way. I know Alan Kelly spoke about it during the week, that his daughter plays, and that it actually could be deemed a safety issue. If the Camogie Association hadn't answered and called a debate, they could have nearly brought it up in front of the Cairn Corliss saying, this is a safety issue because we're, yeah, I mean, it's a stretch, but if you need to find a loophole in the rules to get something changed, you do. It's uncomfortable. I think the fact that you'd never see a single person training in it tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, and the fact that it's uncomfortable, I think, is the key. That maybe in hockey or tennis, where they're wearing them and aren't, I don't want to say kicking up a fuss because that's obviously the wrong word, but aren't protesting, well, maybe they just are comfortable. Maybe they aren't in those same situations and it doesn't matter as much. Because I think the problem with choice is that, you know, we can't choose to do anything or wear anything we want. I would personally be of the opinion, I know we've been divided in our build up to this week, but I do think that sports, they wear uniforms for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we don't suddenly go to the other end of the extreme and say, oh, well, they can wear whatever the heck they like on the rugby pitch or whatever the heck they like. Now, this isn't of everybody's opinion. And we did chat to a lad today who, I think he does weightlifting or some sort.
A strongman competition, which is really niche.
Really niche.
I do strongman competitions, and, like, in that sport, you can wear whatever you want. You could wear a suit if you want. Like, you know, I don't think there should be that much policing on something as simple as just, like, athletic wear that's meant to be, you know, for freedom of movement and mobility, you know. Yeah.
I do agree with him that there shouldn't be policing on the freedom of movement. And I think that's key in this whole debate, is the fact that they are not comfortable. They do not have freedom of movement. They cannot play the sport to the best of their ability. You're limiting them. This is why we need the change and the choice. It's not a fact of, like, a rugby player being saying, oh, I'd like to wear a skirt just for the crack. You don't have, now that could open a whole other can of worms, but you don't have the need, the necessity for the change. Whereas I think in Camogie, they've shown that they really do.
Yeah, and even when you come from a preparation point of view, you know, you hear everyone talking about the 1% these days that will win the difference. And you train all year, you're training in your shorts, all of a sudden you go to play the most important matches of the year with your championship and you're putting on a skirt. It's different. You know, people have habits, they have routines that they spend all year trying to get used to just so they can be ready for match day. And we actually saw it 2 weeks ago. Claire were playing in the Munster Hurling Championship and Peter Duggan was on fire that day. His face guard came off his helmet and he tried about 6 or 7 times to fix the helmet on the field until the referee actually told him, you need to get a new helmet, like, you're wasting too much time. And that's because why he's used to playing in that helmet, he didn't want to put on something strange that he's not used to training in. And that's all we're asking for, you know. And I know people might say, then why don't you just train in the skirts? Because they're uncomfortable. You know, it's
simple as that.
Simple as that. Yeah, yeah, it is.
It's interesting to think about why the people who want to keep the skirt do want to keep the skirt. Because we can all sit here and we're all of varying levels of the same opinion that there needs to be a change, whether we think it should change completely or they should have the choice. We all do think it should change. But there's a lot of, and I say women out there, who don't think it should change at all. And I think it's crazy that there's very few times that there's a gender issue in sport that's actually between women. I think that's such a unique thing about this debate, that men aren't actually really, not that they're not involved, and there's a lot of great guys coming out, and we spoke to a lot of great guys today giving their opinion, but the main fight, it seems, is between kind of maybe an older demographic of camogie players and a younger demographic coming through. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So when you look at who voted in that Congress in 2024, it would have been delegates. So they would have been representatives of the different county boards, the different provinces, and a couple of international teams as well. They don't tend to be players. You know, they tend to be retired players. And the job of those delegates is to represent the views of the players. That's not what happened last year. You know, what seems to have happened is those delegates gave forward their own views on things.
Yeah.
And a theme during the week seems to be steeped in tradition, that traditionally we wore skirts, but traditionally they also wore heavy woolen tunics.
Yeah, and blouses.
Know, and blouses. It's not as if the game is going to become unrecognisable if girls are playing it in shorts.
Have you seen those photos of what they used to wear? Now, this goes across a variety of sports, but it wasn't that long ago that camogie players were still in like full-length shirts, something I wouldn't even wear to the office, and an ankle-length dress,
but that's,
basically.
But that's the thing about when you have people who are on the opposite side of the argument who will say that skirts are camogie's tradition. Mm. Well, that's just factually untrue. It used to be, when camogie first kind of came about in the early 20th century, very long ankle-length skirts. And then they fought to have it to be, okay, below the knee. And then they fought to have it be sort of these athletic dress type garments. So every few years, the outfit and the kit has evolved. Skorts have not been the tradition. I would be amazed if we saw a picture from 1910 with the skorts on, you know.
Yeah.
It's this issue.
No, in tennis they were.
In tennis they were.
Maybe
tennis,
not as early as 1910, but pretty early.
Trailblazers. Truly. But what I think you kind of touched on this, Susanna, this is an age issue rather, I think, than a gender issue. It stems from gender. It stems from kind of controlling women and what they wear and what they are and are not allowed to wear. But what we're seeing now and this controversy that's being stirred up, it does seem to be along age lines. Not for everyone. You know, some people we chatted to of every age had...
Are you leading into our favourite person of the day?
I'm leading into my favourite person possibly ever.
Mary Murphy.
We were chatting to her
today. This is quite funny. Little side note. We met a lady on the street, Mary Murphy. She was lovely. What age do you reckon she was?
It's a dangerous game to play in.
Yeah, fair. We won't guess Mary.
A very happy kind of... She has a train card. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a great way to judge somebody's age. We won't do that to you, Mary. But I was... When she said her name was Mary Murphy, my brain went to, oh, my granny has a friend called Mary Murphy. Do you know my granny? And it was obviously like, I'd say every granny, excuse me, in Ireland probably knows somebody called Mary Murphy. And she admitted to that herself. But anyway, we thought maybe Mary would be on the other side of this debate, the side that we're maybe not on, of the whole why tradition matters. But she wasn't at all. So let's play that clip of her talking about that.
Tradition, imagine we'd be back with the Inquisition maybe in the 15th or 14th century, whenever it was. We'd never have moved on. We'd be along with John Charles McQuaid and saying women couldn't ride bicycles because it was a bit immodest to throw your leg over the side of a bike. Yeah. We'd be riding side saddle on horses. Good Lord. Ridiculous idea.
I love that so much.
I love that lady. But she's right. It's when you have maybe people from a different generation who haven't grown up kind of seeing the same stuff that we have, or have grown up in an era, put it this way, that would have seen no problem at all with the wearing of skirts, the wearing of possibly long skirts with camogie. And when you can see just the utter, I think, bewilderment in her face and in her voice as to why this is an issue that requires the level of protesting that we've seen to get over, again, a tradition that's not been there that long, really. It seems to boggle everyone's minds, but it must be nice, I suppose, to have, I don't want to say allies, I'm going to say allies within, you know, this older generation, kind of hoping, I suppose, that when it goes to Congress again later this month, that you might have a different outcome.
Get Mary Murphy to Congress.
Yes. She'd do so well in Congress.
She'd whip them into shape really quickly.
She actually would. I think we should start that as part of the Skorts Not Shorts campaign. Get Mary Murphy to Congress.
To Congress.
Absolutely. She was super interesting, though, and she spoke a little bit about the that age issue that we were talking about, and she actually said it in a way that I think better than any of us could have said. So let's listen to her again.
Sometimes I think people who run organisations that are for young people forget what they felt when they were young and think because they wore skirts, everybody should have them because they were good enough for them. Well, otherwise we'd all still be out of date, wouldn't we?
I do think that's interesting because I was chatting to her friend while you guys were doing the interview with her, and the friend was kind of saying all these people, all these older camogie players should be standing up and should be saying, look, we went through this, but the younger generation shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
And instead, they're actually doing the opposite.
But not all of them, I have to say. You know, there's a lot of former All-Ireland winning, not All-Ireland winning, just former camogie players, but All-Ireland winners among them being very vocal, saying that they are for the shorts and for the choice. So it's not just that this is an absolute generational divide, that the generation that are still playing are saying we want shorts and anyone who played 30 years ago isn't. So it's not, it's an interesting one because it doesn't seem to be as black and white as that. Definitely the delegates that voted against that were in the older generation, but there's still so much support. And that's the interesting thing. Debate is even a hard word to use for this topic because usually debate has two pretty clear cut sides and you can see where the other side is coming from. But the pro skirt side doesn't, I haven't seen anyone really in the news or on my Instagram saying we need to be wearing shorts and this is why, you know?
Yeah, it does seem to stem, the only people I've seen who have been perhaps pro-skort, it seems to not even be the skort itself, it's that idea of tradition. But kind of when we were speaking about something like tennis, I mean, you look at Wimbledon, which is kind of the traditional sports tournament, you have to wear all white, and I think that was since 1963. And it was only in 2022 that they allow female players now to wear non-white like underwear to ease, I think, period anxiety among female players. Like if Wimbledon, like Wimbledon can do this, you know, the fact that camogie is still hemming and hawing about it and the fact that a small number of delegates that aren't even, I think you said, you know, they're only representative of players, not maybe the players themselves, can still hold this much sway. It does seem illogical.
Yeah, I did want to speak about tennis a bit, but we might have to save that for another pod because I think the more interesting story is the whole hockey situation.
Yes.
Now, we know that this happened already in hockey. Basically, the same debate, which is kind of crazy. Didn't happen in Ireland as much, but it happened over in the UK. Tess Howard, I think it was, she was on Off the Ball Breakfast the other day. She did some research in her university, which basically proved that there's a direct link between girls feeling uncomfortable and dropping out of hockey at an early age. She got the English League to change their rules so that they could choose between skorts or shorts. And then eventually England hockey sent that to the international level. And now it's a rule all over the world in international competition. Fantastic. What's bizarre, in Ireland, it hasn't really taken on. And I was noticing this all week that I can look at so many pictures of the Irish women's hockey team and there's not a single one of them in shorts, even though technically they're allowed to, and there was this big campaign. So we actually went and we chatted to the Trinity ladies hockey captain, just a little bit around why this was.
So we've always played in skorts. It's actually never come up in discussion if we want to play in shorts. And it's something I think would be interesting maybe to discuss within the club, because it's actually a conversation that hasn't come up. I think because skorts have always been kind of in the sport. I've only been in the club for the last, it's my third year in the club this year.
Yep.
And to my recollection, there hasn't been a discussion about it. It hasn't come from a conversation. Because I actually need to double check with Leinster. I'm sure they would follow Hockey Ireland and FIH's rules of that you can wear shorts. But it's always just been skorts. Like, we've never really had anyone in shorts.
So this took us all by surprise. The fact that they've been through the whole revolution, if you want to call it that. They had the rules changed and it still hasn't taken off in Ireland.
It seems like there might be that sort of, I don't want to say peer pressure, but that tradition, even if it's not kind of mandated within the sport, it's not like a legal thing or something that's enforced, tradition still holds so much weight in these sort of scenarios that maybe, you know, especially if it's a case where the whole team has to wear shorts or skorts, that kind of pressure to be the only one, I don't know what it is, but it's definitely something we hadn't known and is interesting.
Yeah, it is really bizarre, and it's something to kind of look forward to as we see this unfold in the camogie I think there will be more of an immediate impact because there's so many girls protesting it in Ireland, whereas the case for hockey was kind of abroad, maybe didn't filter over. But we will see the outcome of that. Well, we'll likely see the outcome on the 22nd of May. As Rachel said at the beginning, they're moving the Congress forward to the 22nd of May. So we will see a decision then. Rachel will also be at the, what game are you at on Saturday?
I'm at the Munster final between Cork and Waterford. So that'll be very interesting because they've stated that they're not going to change, that they want to play the match in shorts. And obviously this falls before the emergency Congress vote. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there, whether the officials will see sense and let the match go ahead. Remains to be seen.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. And you can check out all those updates across all the Off the Ball social platforms. For now, this was Word on the Street, and we hope you enjoyed.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you. Hey!